Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. We are on part 69 of how to have God's life, immortal life, living in you and working in you and through you. So this is program number 171. If you'd like a copy of it, I'll let you know at the end of this service here. Bring four different ways that you can order tapes, Bibles, literature, and this particular tape or CD. Please mention whether you'd like a CD or a tape. And we have several letters here, and we have phone room responses. We deal with them all, and then we have a testimony here today. So right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask the Lord to anoint this precious service. Lord, this is a precious service, and you know that Satan is attacking us in Los Angeles area. Government helicopters, Vatican government helicopters, and Vatican officials from the department of different departments are coming up to our place and wanting us to. They're saying that we didn't take out permits to the building commissioners, didn't take out permits to do the things, but there wasn't any need for permits with the exception of a new well that we put in over at our number 5 location by the halfway house, and we got a permit to put in a new well, and we have the permits, but all the things that were going on in Los Angeles, when we first purchased that property around 37 years ago, nothing has really been changed except we remodeled. We put new doors, we put a refrigerator, stove, and carpet inside the place, but I know we don't need permits for that. What we are doing is we're putting in sprinkler systems, Lord, for the orange trees, and I guess some neighbors thought we were putting in a new septic tank, but that's the same old septic tank that we've had for ages. But we're going to let you take care of that, Lord, because you told me years ago that if I do what you want me to do, that you'll do what I want you to do, that you'll win these souls, Lord, in the government and out of the Catholic Church. We thank and praise you, Lord, that because you hear, well, I ask that, and I know that you're pouring out your outward anointing on me as you always do during these services, and I pray that you, and I know you're going to take over my mouth and let everything that is being said in this service be from your mouth through mine to those that are out in the world that are not yet members of your body, of the body of Christ, and to those that are wavering in the church, that you, Father, you, Jesus, you, Holy Spirit, will raise them on higher ground, strengthen them. And I ask it, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone here says, amen.
Amen.
All right, praise the Lord. So, where is the first letter from?
From Andhra Pradesh, India.
All right.
Dear World Pastor Tony Alamo, I greet you in the ever-precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I thank you for your letter and also for your literature. I have been distributing it to the people. Through this literature, people are being saved, so I have given baptism. They were strong Hindus. They never knew the love of God. Therefore, we have to follow up on them with the Bible and some literature.
Amen. Sure, praise the Lord. Then what?
Because they are very eager to know the love of God through the Bible. Please help my ministry by sending some Telugu Bibles. On behalf of your work, I gained more souls for the kingdom of God, which you instructed me to do. So let me remain with much love and pray for this great ministry work. I would like to send some baptism photos for you to see this. Help me, Pastor, that my church may grow in the love of God through the Word of God, which is the Bible. Thanking you, sir, yours in Christ, Pastor Sifa from Andhra Pradesh, India.
Amen. And the Word of God is also Jesus. The Bible says that the Word of God, in the beginning was the Word of God. And the Word of God was with God, and the Word of God was God. Amen?
Amen.
And still is God. And the Bible says that the Word of God, which is Jesus, came into the world as a man. God came into the world as a man, God the Son. But he said the Father was in him as well when he was here. And therefore, that only could happen by the Spirit, because Jesus was begotten by the Holy Spirit. And so God, the Word, came into the world as a man, a human being. So Mary did not give birth to God. She gave birth to a man that has flesh and bones and blood, just like you and I. But he did have the Spirit of God in him, and therefore, just like we do after we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Now, when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we're accepting the entire Word of God. When the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, what that's saying is, believe on the Word of God, and thou shalt be saved. Jesus told Satan, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the living God. Well, the words came from God at the very beginning. He said, let there be light. Amen?
Amen.
And so the Word of God, we have to receive all of that. If you don't receive that the world was created by God in the heavens, well, then you don't believe the Bible. You don't believe in Jesus. If you believe in evolution and you've allowed Satan, the world government, and the cult from Rome who controls the world government and the media, if you've allowed them to place evolution in the schools, we know that the schools are run by the Catholic cult, and it's enforced by the government. By George, you better listen to what those Catholics say. They say, but we just got a letter from the people that book our time on radio, and they said they entitled the letter to Sally, who helps book the programs through Pan American Broadcasting and other agents, and they said the Catholics are coming. They said they're fighting you. They want Tony Alamo off the air because they don't want you to hear the truth. Now, you know, the Catholics are on the air. They own several hundred radio stations, and I've never sent one letter to anybody saying to take them off the air. And so our radio station said they love our program, my program, and the people that hear it love the program, and they said, we're not taking him off. And so I really commend the radio stations for that stand that they've made against the Antichrist cult, government, and the media. And so, people say that I'm against Catholics. No, this shows that they're against me. I was on the national charts with, I had a hit record called Quiet Nights of Quiet Stars. It was written by Antonio Carlos Jobim, and they threatened, the Catholics called and threatened to blow Cashbox magazine up if they didn't take me off the national charts. And so George, who was the head owner of Cashbox, called me up and he says, Tony, you gotta come here. He says, I don't even feel like talking in the office. He says, come on, let's go to the restroom. So I went in the restroom. He says, man, you've got to change your name to be on the air, because these Catholics are a bunch of devils. And here George was a Jew. And he says, I know that what you're saying about them is true. And he told me about the time that he went to Rome, because the Pope wanted to be on the charts, and they gave him a motorcade. And then he went down, the Pope was a little bit busy, and they went down into the catacombs to keep George busy and happy. So he asked, George was asking, where are all these coffins? Who's in there? And the guide told him, these are our enemies. And George asked him, well, who are your enemies? And they didn't know that George was Jewish. And they said, the Jews. And this is why, this is the way that you bind Satan on earth, is to uncover their ungodly ways. Now, a lot of people think I don't like Catholics. One of the brothers in the church, his father just died. His name is Trevor Tipton. And he just called me the other day and told me that my dad just died. And he was so, and he said, he's such a staunch Catholic, and my mother too. And I would send them the literature, but your literature, and I'd give them messages and everything, but they just made a strong stand on Catholicism. And I said, well, that's tough, you know, because... So we just hung up after I talked to him for a while. And then the Lord told me, you know, some Catholics are saved. Now, that may be a surprise to a lot of you people out there, but some of them are saved. They are totally ignorant, though, of what happens, because on the high echelon of the Catholic cult, I've met a lot of saved Catholics. And so I said, you know, your dad may very well be in heaven. He just doesn't realize that that is, you know, a cult. And that they are killing people and murdering people. And that their thing is to create wars all over the world. And they use simpletons like President Bush and Clinton and other simps. Like FDR, they are not smart at all, because if you reject the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're not saved, and a religion won't get you into heaven. But some people in the Catholic Church, they say that I know they're saved, because I talked to a Catholic so-called priest in Israel. We'd sit underneath olive trees out there, and he'd tell me how delicious the St. Peter's fish are in the Sea of Galilee. And I said, well, I'll have to go try some. Where do you get some around here? And he says, why, he says, I know how to fry them up real good if you want to come over to my place. And we had a real good time talking. And I could tell that the man was really into eats, because he looked like the size of Friar Tuck. But anyway... That's why the Lord, he knows that people are saved in the Catholic cult, but they just don't know that. That's the Catholic cult has got so many secret organizations that none of them know what each one of them is doing. And we know people that have been in there, and they've come out of the Catholic cult and have exposed these things, like... Mr. Rivera, Alberto Rivera did, and he was a good friend of mine also. He was right next to the Pope. But Revelation 18:4 states, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. Well, God wouldn't be calling them his people if they weren't born again of the Spirit, would he?
Amen.
So there are saved people in the Catholic Church. There are. And so I'm not against Catholics. I'm just against the wars that they're starting, the Christians that they're harassing. They put me in prison for 6 years, and I got off for 4 years, good time, for a false IRS charge that I was beating the IRS out of money. And no, I mean, there's a lot of them. My brother was a Catholic, and I told him, I educated him into... what they're doing in the high echelon, but I know he was saved. I've led him to the Lord, and he still sort of stayed in there. But the Lord says, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. Well, the Bible says, what are her plagues? The Bible explains everything. What are the plagues going to be of the Catholic Church? That's why I'm saying, all you Catholics, 2/3 of our organization are former Catholics. And so they have come out of her so that they don't receive her plagues. The Bible says that she's going to be burned up. And there's a lot of people that are going to be moaning and groaning because of the fact that they're doing business with this cult. This is a strictly money organization. It's political and it's a moneyed situation. They run the Vatican banks, and they run the Federal Reserve, and they run all these different things. And so, you know, they say money is power, but God is more powerful than money. Amen?
Amen.
He said, don't be given to filthy lucre, which means filthy money. And he says, the love of money is the root of all evil. He doesn't say money is the root of all evil, but the love of it. You know, people that love money, they won't tithe to the house of God, and they just are misers. And why? I have no idea, because once they die, they're not going to take one threepence, one penny, or anything with them in heaven or hell. All the things that whatever they've done here in this world, the Bible says that we're going to be judged for the works that we've done in our bodies, our human bodies. So we've got to be very careful. And so you say, well, I know a lot of Catholic people that are good, and I know they wouldn't murder anybody or crucify anybody or feed them to the lions or bomb these different countries. Well, I know some Catholics that wouldn't do that either, but I know some that do. And I know that President Bush, you know, he goes about his business, and that's, you know, bombing countries and occupying them if he can, for the Pope. I just pray that President Bush's eyes will be opened. His dad's eyes never got opened. When I exposed his dad for having six Nazi war criminals as his advisors, he immediately invaded our property in Arkansas, in Dyer, Arkansas, and took every bit of property we had, kicked everyone in the church out on the streets, and many other things. He sent, he closed down our clothing store in Nashville, Tennessee, and we were doing clothing. I was designing clothing for the top movie stars in the world, and rock and roll artists, and I was trying to win their souls to the Lord. Top wrestlers and car driver, automobile drivers, Formula 2, Formula 1 drivers. And actually, I did clothing for four presidents of the United States, for the Sultan of Brunei, for King Faisal and his queen, and princes and princesses, and King Alfred Bongo, the president of Gabon, Africa. All these were the world's richest men. Gabon, Africa is known for gold, diamonds, and oil. It's rich with all these items, and the man is absolutely loaded with money. As a matter of fact, his son was singing, he wanted to be Elvis Presley, a black Elvis Presley, I had, and he went and wanted me to do several Elvis Presley jumpsuits for him, and also to get some elevator boots, because he's a little bit short. Like myself, I'm only about 5'10". And so we went there, and here the wife went shopping, and she came in with well over $1 million worth of stuff that she shopped for, and he was talking to the President of the United States and the people in the White House and all these things. So I've got a lot of experience. I've been around. I've seen all these different things. And the Vatican does not want anyone that is making money, because they don't want anybody that is exposing them to have money. And so they took all of our property and they sold it for pennies on the dollar. And they took all the clothing in the clothing store and did that. Well, I told this young man that called me and told me that his dad died, I said, he was like weeping. He says, you know, the Lord said that if we keep the commandments, that our dads, our mothers, our loved ones would be saved too. And I said, well, it's very possible that he was saved. You know, we don't threaten people or stop their businesses. My clothing was in 10,000 clothing stores, including Neiman Marcus and merry-go-round stores and Signal stores and BB Sportswear in Hawaii and all these different places. And federal agents went to all those stores and said that I was running a slave labor camp and that I was using slave labor kids to make the clothing. I mean, they make up lies. They don't care whether the Bible says, no liar shall enter the kingdom of heaven, and touch not my people, do them no harm. Okay, amen?
Yeah.
Touch not my anointed, and do them no harm. But they do. And that's unfortunate for them, because I'm still preaching the gospel, and a lot of them, since they started persecuting us, have died and gone on to before the great white throne of God. And that's one place I ask the people today here, can you hardly wait to get before the great white throne of God? And they say, no, we can't wait. I said, let me tell you something. That's the worst place you could ever wind up, outside of hell. And I've got a message on that today. But anyway, all this is probably foreign to you, because you've probably been living in peace, because you're not ruffling the devil's feathers. You're not exposing him. And these, I mean, everything that's going on in the world today that's evil, even the gas prices at the pump, there's no need for that. The world is rich in oil. The United States is as well, but the government, the Vatican government, stopped the people in this country from drilling oil. And so they're making it look like we're out of it. There's enough oil in this country to support us with petroleum for over 300 years. This I received from officials in the government. And they said, for sure. And they showed me all the different storage places and all the different places where they could be pulling oil out of the ground. And they stopped it. These government officials that call themselves ecologists say, we can't have oil drilling here in this country. We can't do it. And are you complaining if somebody opens an oil field? I love the smell of an oil refinery. It doesn't bother me a bit. Okay, I'd rather do that than to go drive up to the pumps and pay $3.50 a gallon. Amen?
Yeah.
And to see all the poor people in this country suffering because they can't go to work back and forth. And it's hard to transport vegetables and produce and all that, and meat products and all those things from city to city because of the fact of what the Vatican world government, the Antichrist government, is doing to you folks out there. So, of course, I'm hitting them hard with the truth. And they're saying that we don't have a septic tank. That septic tank, we bought that property 37 years ago. It's been in the ground ever since then. The leaching field's the same way. And all those properties were used for the same use that we were using them for, except one of them was being used by a bunch of wild bikers for a beer joint. And now we got some of the brothers are sleeping in there, and that's supposed to be just horrible. Horrible. You know, and we're just lawbreakers because we go to bed at night after witnessing and testifying on the streets. Oh, my God. And so many other things that are being said, but go ahead now. I was telling you about the Bible tells us in Revelation 18:4 that it says, come out of here, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. Well, the plagues that the Bible said are going to happen to the Catholic cult, the Vatican and Rome, is going to cause all the merchants of the world to weep because they live deliciously off of her. A lot of people become Catholics. I remember when I was witnessing, I wasn't even saved, but I was talking to my brother. He says, why don't you become a Catholic? He says, you know, he didn't know what my situation was, but he says, my refrigerator is chock full of food, and, you know, and I went over there several years later, and they just portioned out their food, because the Catholics keep their people poor. If you go to Mexico, you see people living in cardboard shacks over there. The cardboard boxes in other Latino countries, and you'll see them in Africa. Those people are so dirt poor that the kids over there, you can see the ribs are sticking out and their eyes are bugging out of their heads, and they're dying like flies over there, and we're supporting them. And we're trying to get food to them. And these horrible demonic people that are not the nice Catholic people, they're the ones that are depriving them of food and keeping nourishment from these children and water. I mean, they're spending hundreds of billions of dollars on war and letting these poor kids starve to death. And they say, well, we got to get rid of kids anyway, because, and also we got to get rid of the blacks and the Jews, because we don't want them. They say they're like animals. And they say a Jew is just a black turned inside out. Well, I'm Jewish, and, you know, if that's the way they want to feel about me, all right, because they're saying the same thing about the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're going to stand before that great white throne saying that a Jew is a black turned inside out. No, you people are devils, inside and out. Let's say things like that. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so now let's hear what the plagues of the Vatican, the one world system, is going to be. Go ahead.
Revelation chapter 18, verse 8. Therefore shall her plagues...
Okay, read from verse 1.
Okay. And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen.
Okay, now the Bible calls the Vatican Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of every sin on the face of this earth, the mother of whores, the mother of harlots. So she's Mystery Babylon the Great. Okay, now then go ahead.
Babylon the Great is fallen.
Yeah, so you see these people marching around, all puffed up and just sending people to prison and raiding people's property and taking their things away from them and giving them to other people, especially their own people. And so she's fallen. She's falling. And I thank God that when I get into the kingdom of heaven, I'll be reputed for helping her be exposed. But I'm not the one that's going to send these plagues upon her. The Bible says that the Lord is going to send these plagues upon her. So he says, get out of there, you people that are nice Catholic people and you're born again of the Spirit, so that you're not partaker of her sins, because she's very sinful and you just don't know it. You've been going there to that cult all your life and you just think it was the greatest church because it's got big buildings and these priests, some of them are real nice and they talk nice to you. But the Lord says, get out of there so that you don't receive of her plagues. Now, plagues are caused by the Lord. God plagues people. Okay, now keep going.
Babylon the Great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils.
See, right there, so the Bible. God said that, not me. Amen?
Amen.
But I say amen. Yeah, it's true. If God says they're devils, they are.
Amen.
Then what?
And the hold of every foul spirit.
It's the hold of every demonic spirit. And the Lord says, but come out of her, my people. You know, you got, there's some good people in there. And he wants them to come out. Then why?
And a cage of every unclean and hateful bird.
Yeah.
For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication.
Right. The all nations have drunken of the wine of her sins, her fornications. In other words, everybody is under the control of the Vatican except those of us that are born again of the Spirit. That's why they're able to come in and just march in and kill people. That's why they didn't like Christians, so they went into... And the Seventh-day Adventist, E.G. White, has written many things about the Vatican, and she calls them the Satan's cult also. And that's why they went in and killed the people at the Branch Davidians. Because they want to kill everybody that exposes her. He wasn't exposing them that much, and he had rifles over there and everything, and so they just figured that they'll use that as an excuse. But the people in the town knew that David Koresh was a good old boy. I mean, you know, he was not harming anybody, but they went in there and he tried to give himself up. If they felt that they could win in a courtroom with a good attorney on David Koresh's side, they wouldn't have had to go in there and kill him. But the Lord told me that they were going to kill me first. And he said, for you to separate your church, get them here, over there, in some parts of other states, separate them, and you get off the ridge over there, because if you're all together, they're going to kill all of you. But if you get off, they will not kill all of you. They can't, because you're scattered. And we opened churches. I opened churches in Chicago and New York. We had them in Los Angeles, Fort Smith, Arkansas, and many other places, Central America and Guatemala City, Guatemala, and many places. And so about just shortly after that, they went in and got Koresh, because all of his people were in one, what they called a compound. Compounds are prisons. Now, there are people that are in the church that say that this is a prison, but we're going to have a testimony on that. Go ahead and read them some more.
And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her.
Yeah, they like the wine company, Napa Valley, and all these booze places. They don't pay taxes. And they come in here to the United States, these Vaticanites, and they don't pay any taxes. And the Constitution says that the government is not supposed to favor any particular religion, because then that religion would become like dictators, and that's what they have done now. Anyone, George W. Bush is not a born-again Christian. He's built memorials to the Vatican in Washington, D.C., and he states that he will implement, he will put into force everything that the Pope wants. Now, no born-again Christian would ever say anything like that. And we're praying for George W. Bush, and we're praying for everybody that's doing these things. But it doesn't seem like he's repenting at all. Now he's talking about, you know, everybody believes that he's the one that made sure that the World Trade Center was bombed. And it was Clinton that said he was the one that was behind the people at Waco being killed, and his lesbian Attorney General Janet Reno. And so it's like, you know, they just do whatever they want to do. And so I pray, Father, that you bind them. And you said binding the devil here on this earth is to expose them, and that's what I do. And now, Lord, it's your promise to bind them from heaven, in heaven. So, Lord, I'm expecting that. Bind them in Jesus' name, because I'm exposing them, and that's what binds them here. Okay, now finish up here.
And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies.
Yeah, the only church that's exceedingly rich on the face of this earth is the Vatican. They run the Vatican banks, the Federal Reserve, and they believe that those that hold the money bags are the ones that control the world. But that isn't so. The Lord is the one that's starting to pour out his plagues on the earth. Many of them have happened recently, and they're going to be on the increase. There's thousands of earthquakes every day now, and you people in government, you may think you've got it made right now, but when the plagues start hitting you, you're not going to survive. Now, if you say you're a Christian, then stop creating war. Stop sending our troops overseas to fight, to bomb countries that the Vatican wants to control, that the Vatican wants to occupy. The actual career of George W. Bush is invading countries. That's what it is. Amen?
Amen.
And the same thing with Clinton. He invaded 50 countries for the Vatican. He was Catholic. He said he was born again also. He'd sit in a Baptist church to make people believe that he was a Christian so he could get the Southern vote. But I'm exposing these people, and that binds them, and the Lord, you are going to bind them from heaven. Now, the Lord caused Mr. Clinton to have heart trouble. I don't know how many bypasses he's had. But he looks like death eating a cracker. And it's going to get worse for him if he doesn't repent. Now he brags about being the world's most famous sinner because he lied to everybody in the world. And the Bible says that the devil is the father of liars. Okay, let's finish off here with these plagues.
And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues.
Keep going.
For her sins have reached unto heaven.
Can you imagine people burning people that are innocent children and their mothers and dads? And do you think that's not sin? We've never killed, I don't even like to kill an ant, let alone human beings, in the image and likeness of God, that God created and that he died for. You people are the biggest sinners on the face of this earth, you people in the high echelon. Not all of you. That's why the Lord is saying, come out of here, my people. If you're born again, get out of there, because you're going to be partakers of her sins and the plagues that God is sending down on her. Keep going.
God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously.
Yeah, the media glorifies her, and boy, you just see this Pope, within his Popemobile, and everybody just brainwashed, brain damaged, actually, and just praising this little pink man. You know? And it's so unscriptural. I mean, it's pathetic. It's nauseous. Then go ahead.
How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow.
Yeah, see, she says she's a queen. She's self-proclaimed queen. The Lord says, there's no queen up here in heaven. I have no queen. Okay, then what?
For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day.
Yeah, can you imagine? That might be tomorrow morning. All the plagues that you deserve, the Lord says. Then what?
Death and mourning and famine. And she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judgeth her.
Right, the Bible says that the 10 European nations are going to get enough of her, and they're going to go over there and burn her. God's going to put it in their hearts to do that. And then what?
And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her.
Yeah, you can't even get in business if you expose the Vatican. I can't even get a credit card. They will not let me buy or sell. And so I don't own anything. I don't own anything, but when they grab the property that the brothers and sisters are living in, they say it was mine. I live in a little bungalow in Los Angeles, a very tiny one. It's around 700 square feet. Two little tiny bedrooms, which are about closet space, and a living room, very small, and a little small kitchen, and a very small bathroom. And they're saying, and I'm living deliciously? No, these people, you should see the palaces and look at the multi-million dollar churches. Jesus never had a multi-million dollar church. He taught on the hillsides, on the mountains. He preached to people in the cities. And he'd go once in a while into a synagogue, but certainly nothing as pretentious as these Vaticanites have. I went in one of the Catholic buildings in monasteries in Venice, Italy, and the walls were lined with gold, and the pitiful people in Africa and India and here, right here in the United States, were starving to death. Why don't they scrape that gold off there and sell it and feed the people, for God's sake?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now here's another testimony here. just as Yvonne and she called her aunt today. Your aunt wanted you to call, right?
Yes.
And so you asked me, and I said, yeah, go ahead and call her. I don't care. Anytime somebody wants to call their relatives, they call them. Especially if there's nothing that they're, if they're anti-Christ, well, we don't call them. I didn't call my own brother for 10 years when he was just like viciously again into the Catholicism. And I just said, hey, just forget you. And then finally, after 10 years, the Lord gave him a vision of my late wife, Susan. And she said, everything's all right, Danny. And she says, everything's all right. And he says, oh, my God, Sue. And then he turned on the, there was a phone call, and it was his ex-wife called and says, Sue died. And he says, oh, my God, I just had a vision of her. He says, don't worry. And then Danny called me, my brother, and I says, look, you know, what have I to do with you? I mean, you're talking bad about us and everything. And people do talk bad about us because of the things that the Vatican, with all their television stations and radio stations, have been putting smut out on us. But anyway, tell us about your conversation with your aunt.
She wanted me to call, so she left her number and I called her right back.
In Puerto Rico?
Yes, in Puerto Rico. And she was, we got onto the conversation about my mom, and she wanted to know how my mom was doing, and I told her she had to leave the church because my sister was put out for committing adultery with a married man.
Right, so there was an adultery here, and I said, I talked to your mother and told her, is there any place you can send her, because we can't have that testimony in our church. Now, there's a lot of churches that will just let adulterers and adulteresses and winos and everybody live in the church without repenting, but not here. I want a place here on earth where godliness is. And, you know, there's thousands of other churches that she could go. And I said, if there's any place you can send your daughter to, well, then do it. You can stay. And so she preferred to go with her. All right? So go ahead from there.
And so I explained how, you know, we didn't allow things like this in this church, and she totally understood. And she started asking about my mom, and I said, she said because she hadn't talked to her in a long time, and she started explaining about things that my mom was telling her, and the things that she said my mom was telling her sounded like my mom was trying to make this church look like a cult. She said that my mom wrote her a letter without a return address because my mother said that wasn't allowed. And she said that we weren't allowed to call her, and I was like, what? I said, that's totally untrue. I said, I'm going to write you, give you my address. I said, in fact, you just called me. I called you right back. I said, there's no problem, you know, doing anything like that. And she was very much relieved, and she said that my mother made us look like such a cult that, in fact, that on my grandmother's dying bed, she wanted my mom to call her. And my mom wouldn't because she said that we could not call her. And she said my grandmother died with a sore heart. And I said that is so untrue. I said I had no idea of that incident. I said, but we could call any time. We could go anywhere we want. As a matter of fact, I just came from out of town from California. And I said, I'm very happy here. And she was very relieved. I told her not to listen to my mother because she's crazy, and she agreed, and she said absolutely that my mother has always been crazy and uncontrollable, and she's always done rash things, and she was so relieved to hear from me because of my mother's, you know, telling her all these wicked things about us. And
tell that about the marriage.
Right, and she asked if my mom was still married to the same man. I said yes, and he had to get put out because, you know, he's such a liar, and I witnessed his lies. And she said, she's married again. And I said, no, she only was married once. And she said, no, that's not true. I watched her get married out here in Puerto Rico, and she took off, and she never divorced the man. And the man wants to remarry, and he can't because of my mother, my mother's, you know, marriage with him. And he doesn't know where she's at, and how, you know, she just left him there, and she never did anything to take care of that. And she really loves Tony's literature, and she said that, you know, everything he has written there is strictly biblical stuff, and she's very happy to hear the truth about this church, and she knows that my mother, you know, she's a liar, and she knows her from past experience, and she knows that I'm in a very safe place.
But your aunt is a born-again Christian.
Yes, she is.
And she's really straight-laced, too, very strict with the scriptures, and she keeps the commandments, and she was extremely happy to hear when you told her that they got put out for adultery. She said, absolutely, that's right.
Yes.
That's the right thing to do. And when she was saying that sure, you shouldn't have liars in the church because the Bible says that Satan is a liar and the father of all liars. And so she agreed 100% with you, and she could tell that because you hadn't heard from her for years, and all of a sudden you get a call from her, and immediately you call her back.
Yes.
That this thing about us not letting people talk to their relatives is bogus. I mean, if they're fighting the church, I mean, we have nothing to say to somebody like that. But, I mean, if they're just nice people like your aunt or just normal people and there's nothing that they're doing, there's some people that are doing as much against this church because they've become Antichrist, they've become members of the Antichrist party. They've joined the hierarchy of the Catholic cult and are doing what the Catholic cult said. As a matter of fact, when they sent me to prison for the gospel's sake, for they said I was not paying tax. I pay taxes every year. And they said when they sent me to prison, they had about 15, between 12 and 15 paid liars that gave the same kind of testimony against me. You could tell that they'd got them all together as a group and told them the same things to say. Everyone had the same thing to say. Well, if I was the devil, I could do the same thing to them, you know. But we have a disadvantage of lying demons is that we as Christians believe the word of God that says if you lie, you're going to hell. No liar shall enter the kingdom of heaven. And that goes for all these people. No murderers. They planned the murder of those people at David Koresh. They planned the murders of all the people at the federal building in Oklahoma City. And they planned the murders of all those people at the World Trade Center. That was planned. They had dynamite all the way through that building. And it pancaked down. Okay, well, praise the Lord. Thank you for your testimony. And your mother, I mean, whatever happened to her, she was, we let her sing and everything in the service, and she'd act like she was really enjoying it, just like all the other people that have brought false accusations against our church. They got to give testimonies. There's no ropes or bars here. Do we have any jails in this church or lock anybody in? People come and go. We've got people driving trucks and automobiles all over this nation. I have people flying out of the nation and everything. If they wanted to leave, I mean, be my guest. I don't want anybody in this church that doesn't want to be here. Mm-hmm. Would you want somebody in your home or in your church that didn't want to be there?
No.
The door is wide open. Get out if you want to go. All right? Yes. So thank you very much.
Yes.
Appreciate it.
Amen.
Okay, now where are we at in this service? Okay, now I guess we'll do a little bit of how to have God's life living in you. All right?
I was mentioning the other day about the great white throne.
Right. I was mentioning how that my mother, when she was on her deathbed, she confessed to me that she had seen a great white throne. And she said she couldn't see anybody that was sitting on it because it was so bright. But she, all of a sudden, the Lord Jesus Christ came into the frame and said, "Not yet, Father, she's not ready." And I says, "Well, Mom, it could be that you're going to go on to be with the Lord. And you really need to get saved." She says, "What have I done?" And I said, "It doesn't matter what you've done at all, but you've got to have God's life living in you. You've got to be born again of the Spirit. And Mom, you did drink a lot, and that's why you've got cirrhosis of the liver, and that's why you're here dying." Now, some people might think that's cruel, but she was really going out to meet the Lord. And I wanted her soul to be saved. You know, that's not a cruel thing to do. It's more wonderful to be honest with people when they're dying and to tell them what this scoop is. And so we prayed her through. And so now this brought on this other message here that I just did today is about the Great White Throne. Okay, go ahead.
The Great White Throne is the final judgment, and this is eternity's court.
Yeah, this, you know, we have courts down here on earth, but this is eternity's court. This is the final judgment. And once judgment is made on you, it's final. Okay, go ahead.
This is the court of no return.
No, you're not going to return and go over to, oh, let me try again, Lord. No way. That's the final judgment. Then what?
This is the court of no appeal.
You can't appeal your case. It's over with. Whatever the works you've done in your body here on this earth is what you're going to be judged for right there on the Great White Throne. Now, a lot of people think that, we can't wait to be on stand before the Great White Throne. That's the worst thing that could ever happen to you outside of what happens to you after you're judged. Okay, then what? That's why the Lord gave her a chance, my mother, and says, not yet, Father, because if she wouldn't have been saved, she'd have went right straight into hell. Okay, then what?
If you're sentenced to an eternity in the lake of fire, there is no appeal and no right to appeal. This, again, is the court that holds the final judgment. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 says, and the very first thing that I want you to see here in this passage is what I call the setting described, the picture, the actual thing John sees. Verse 11, the Apostle John states, quote, and I saw a great white throne. Those of you that are sitting in this church today or out in Radioland, that great white throne is a terrible place. The Great White Throne of God is an awesome, very awful, and terrifying place for you to be. Sometimes you'll hear members in the church while on their knees praying, saying, Lord, one day let me stand at your Great White Throne.
They're not very mature in the Lord. You don't want to be standing there, I'll guarantee you. Then what? You want to be at the mercy seat of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then go.
Be very careful when you pray for this. And don't ever pray for me if you pray, Lord, let me stand at the Great White Throne.
Yeah, keep your prayers to yourself. I don't want the Pope praying for me or you either if you're praying that prayer for me. Okay, then what?
The problem is that you're extremely ignorant about what God's Great White Throne is all about. You're extremely ignorant about what the Word of God states. There isn't a mature born-again Christian that will ever or should want to stand at the Great White Throne of God. So when you pray that you'd like to stand there, don't pray that you want me to stand there. And you should never pray it for yourself, because this is that awful place of God's final judgment. When the Word of God tells you of a great throne, it speaks of the power of the throne of God. When the Bible tells you of the white throne, it speaks of the purity of that throne.
Yeah, the Great White Throne is absolutely pure. Anything that's got sin on it is that white because it's pure. Anything that's got sin on it is going to be slammed right into the pit of hell and into the lake of fire. Okay, so don't pray to be there. Then what else?
When the Bible states...
If you're a sinner, you'll be there. You don't have to pray to be there. Okay, then what else?
When the Bible states throne, it is speaking of the purpose of God's throne. What it is, it's a place where the sovereign judge will judge the entire universe. So please, whatever you do, don't pray to stand there. Only the unsaved will be cast into hell and then the lake of fire. Those are the ones who will come before the great white throne. Many professing Christians are not even saved. So then the first thing you want to do is look at the awful, horrible place. Then in the second place, look now at the awesome person, because the Bible states in verse 11 of Revelation chapter 20, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away.
Now, if this God is so terrible that even the heavens and the earth flee when he just looks at them, what do you think that a sinner is going to do when they're standing in front of him? Go ahead.
Who is it that is sitting on that throne? And who is this judge? Who is the person so awesome, so terrifying, and so powerful, mighty and fearful, so holy in appearance and so holy through and through, that even the heavens and the earth flee and run away from his appearance? Yes, who is this mighty individual? He is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, who will one day sit upon this throne. You say, well, God is the Father, So God the Father is going to sit upon his throne and judge the whole world. But no, no, God the Father will not be the judge. The Bible tells in the Gospel of John that the Father judges no man, but has committed all judgment unto his Son. So the Lord Jesus Christ is coming to be the judge. He is coming to be the judge of the church, which tells me that everybody in this room has a date with the Lord Jesus Christ,
whether you want to be before him or not. And that certainly stands for all those of you that are unsaved out in the world. And I can see that my time is up right now. I'd really love to complete this message, but I'll do it tomorrow, so that you can make sure that you tune in tomorrow, because this is the most important thing. If your soul goes out to meet God tonight, and you haven't been born again of the Spirit, then you will be before the great white throne, and you're not going to like what happens when that happens. Even the earth and the heavens just flee away from the sight of the Almighty God and anything that's got sin, because the heavens and the earth have had sin in them, and that's why they flee. They can't stand to look at the purity of the Almighty God. Now, whatever sins you've ever committed in your life before, you can have them totally removed right now by saying this prayer to God, and you'll become born again of the Spirit. And if God should take you out into eternity tonight or whenever, your soul is saved, and you'll be at the mercy seat of Christ rather than the great white throne of God. So in order to do that, say this prayer, and God will listen to you, and he'll save your soul, and you'll be extremely happy that you said this prayer, and that you will continue on in the Word of God so that you can learn what it really says, rather than to some of these people that are not preaching the truth today. Say to God with all your heart now, so that you can be born again of the Spirit and be at the mercy seat of Christ. Say, "My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open up the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all of my filthy sins away that I've committed in the past, away, and drown it in the sea of your forgetfulness. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know, because your word says so. Your word says you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know you've heard me, and I know you've answered me, and I know I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul from that great white throne, from the pit of hell in the lake of fire. Just praise and thank the Lord. Now raise your hands up and thank him and praise him. And continue praising and thanking him, and read the King James Version of the Bible. Listen, and now if you'd like a copy of this tape I mentioned earlier in the program, it's program number 171. Please specify whether you want a tape or a CD. Sharon, tell them how to receive this program.
You can go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
All right. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for tape number or part number 70 of How to Have God's Life Living in You, and for God to be working in you, because if the Lord isn't working in and through you, it's not a work of the Lord. And the Bible says the religion is of the devil, but salvation is only of the Lord. And until tomorrow, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying, God bless you, and I thank the Lord and praise the Lord for your salvation. Write us or call us and let us know that you got saved today. Until tomorrow, God bless you. Amen.